This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
You've just come to Australia off the back of a North American tour. How are you feeling? How's it all going?
Well, I think I'm over jet lag. I think I'm a week in from being in Australia, so that's a good amount of jet lag. And the tour was really fun, which, you know, touring can be quite grueling. So to be able to come off a two-month tour and say it was fun is pretty good. You know, it's been good.
Yeah. Now, you got to be on the road with Missy Higgins and Katie Herzig. Missy, you worked on her latest project. Was it just phenomenal to see her performing the tracks live that you'd worked so hard on?
Yeah, actually, that's a good question. It has been really lovely, like, to really see, you know, a song go from us writing it in my living room to into the studio and then onto the big stage. And, of course, she's got a great audience. It's a big, these are fairly big shows. And it really is. They're almost like your children when you spend that many hours on it. It's always a thrill to have that.
Are you able to let it all sort of go, that hard work, and just enjoy them at the show? Or are you sitting there side of stage thinking, oh, we should have changed this and we should have changed that?
No, I gave up on being that pedantic years ago because it was just, at some point you just, it's done and then you let it be and let it breathe and it's out of your hands. So no, I'm able to shut that out and just really enjoy the show. And performing with Missy is really fantastic. She's very spontaneous on stage and, you know, she shakes it up a bit and changes the set list a lot. So it keeps it fresh.
Oh, good. And now, that's just a pearl of wisdom right there about letting the songs go. Your new single, Not Fooling Around. Tell us a little bit about the process of this one.
Well, let's see. It's a little pop ditty, isn't it? Kind of dancey, kind of rock and roll. You know, out of all of the songs on the album, I really took some liberty in just kind of hamming up the lyrics a little bit on this one. But I felt like the theme of the song was something that most people have been through before, and that is quite simply breaking up with somebody and then trying to hang out with them but realizing you still have feelings for them, and you're almost telling yourself, I'm not fooling around, I'm not trying to get back to you, I'm not trying to get back with you, but and then eventually the last line of the chorus is, fine, I'm trying to get back.
So maybe it's a personal realization of the fact that you actually are.
Yeah, exactly. So the chorus is kind of like you're trying to convince yourself. It's the voice in your head. Like, yeah. And then, no, really, I still have feelings.
So how did you decide to make this one the next single?
I actually, you know what, this has been one of my favorite songs off the album. So I secretly always wanted it to be a single, but it wasn't an obvious choice. But recently, the last tour I did in Australia, I played at the Toffin Town in Melbourne, and just totally unexpected, the crowd pretty much sung the song from top to bottom, just like singing out the lyrics. And I was like, wow, I guess this is connecting with people. Maybe this should be the next single. And I was either going to go with this one or a really sad song called Warning Bell off the album. But I'm told that, you know, everybody's putting, you know, summertime set lists, you know, DJ sets together, so a sad song is not really appropriate.
No.
So we went for this kind of dancing number instead.
How much of an influence do the fans have over your music? It's great to see them connecting with it in that way. Does that play into how much you do decide to give them that control?
I think naturally, I've really felt more connected with the fans since going independent, and I'm my own record label now, and so yeah, I take a lot of my cues from, you know, what fans are saying after shows or emails and tweets and stuff like that. That's actually become a much bigger part of how, you know, ultimately, you know, I'm only going to go as far as my fans are willing to listen or help me, you know. Mm. So they are part of the team. I think it's an extension of the record label are my fans and what they like. And, their loyalty is huge, you know, being an indie artist. So.
Mm. It's interesting you touch on that, because I was going to ask you about the last time we spoke. We talked about this new album being an opportunity for you to rediscover your music, your passion for it, the innocence of it all. And I was wondering, has that actually affected this promotional process and the touring process for you because the songs have come from a different place?
Good question. I don't know. I think I'm just a happier person in general. So, yeah, that affects every aspect of promoting and touring. And you know, I started making decisions based on whether it would be enjoyable instead of, oh, no, I have to do this, you know, out of desperation. Like, if I do this, then I'll, you know, I might get on this show. And now it's just like, well, would it be fun? Are the people nice? You know, it's just a lot more kind of positive in general. So, yeah.
Is it a different thing for you, an Aussie show or a home show, compared to those ones you've just been doing in America?
Oh, gosh. I don't know. They're all so different. Like, it's, honestly, city to city, it's more about, yeah, the towns than a country to me, because you can have, even in America, you'll have some amazing show in a small town, and then you go to New York or something, and it's a really tough crowd, and, you know, like, it really depends on the city. I've really enjoyed my shows in Sydney and Melbourne, and you know, I'm looking forward to branching out, because I'm playing Cronulla and Wollongong and Newcastle and Brizzy this time around. But yeah, I love the Aussie crowd. They're all down to earth and they get my jokes.
That's the thing. You need a crowd that's going to laugh and interact with you and not give you that weird look.
Yeah, I think sometimes in America they still laugh, but they're not laughing because it was funny. They're laughing because they like my accent.
Yeah.
And it sounds funny.
So you just got to capitalize on that. Make it work for you.
Exactly. Yeah, really lay on the accent, really.
It's been a massive year for you with the album, with all the touring. Are you planning on taking a holiday anytime soon?
Oh, I really am. This is actually kind of the last little bit of touring this year, and I need to take a break. And I'm also kind of getting the itch to create again, you know, because it's been a year of performing the songs that I'd already recorded and promoting. So really, I haven't written a new song since I finished the album about a year and a half ago. So I'm kind of itching to get back in the studio and either write with other people for their stuff or my own. I really just want to make some new music and kind of exercise that part of my brain again. Still got it in me.
Yes. Have you begun to picture what's next for you yet?
There's a few different things. There's a few different artists that I'm at least trying to work with, and I think I'll be just doing a little bit more writing, and I'd really like to take on another producing job next. I also have a band, El Macho, and we have an album that's finished. We finished it this year, and so we've just kind of been waiting for me to finish my solo thing so that we can get on and release that. So that should be coming out sometime next year, and I don't know. You know, whatever song that seems like a good idea.
Whatever looks fun.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Butterfly, thank you so much for catching up with us. We look forward to more of your local shows, and all the best.
Fantastic. Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening. Start your day with Life Words. Subscribe to Hope 1032's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.